More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, when trust goes bust. Has someone betrayed your trust? We'll explore the steps toward healing and moving forward. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to Life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And we are here with you live and happy to be talking with you about trust today on our show titled When Trust Goes Bust. And I want to send out a thank you and a howdy to all the good folks we were visiting in Dallas over the last couple of days. Lisa and I were doing a lot of podcast interviews. We had conversations with Jackie and Bobby Angel.
That was so fun. I cannot wait for that to air. That was so wonderful.
We talked with Peter Blut of the Young Catholic Professionals podcast, Refiner's Fire. I did a turn with Cy Kellett on Catholic Answers. And then we also did The Catholic Gentleman with John Heinen and The Beatitudes with Jeff and Paul and Nick.
Busy few days, so much fun.
Plus, we've got a big thing coming up that I can't tell you about now, but we've got some exciting news coming down here in the next couple of weeks. I hope that you'll stick around to hear more about that. But today, we are happy to be here with you talking about trust on our show titled When Trust Goes Bust. Fact is, every once in a while, people will let us down, betray us, disappoint us, hurt us in some way, and it can be hard to know whether it's okay to rebuild that relationship, how to rebuild that relationship, how to heal the hurt feelings that we have from the relationship, all that and more today on More to Life. Join the conversation, 877-573-7825.
You know, this can be so painful, and it can be something that God is really calling us to heal, especially if it's not a one-off. You know, even if that particular person broke your trust in some way, if you've been that person who many times in life people have broken your trust, maybe it's something you even grew up with the way I did, it can really be something that God is saying, no, stop just thinking, okay, well, people are untrustworthy, or, oh, we're all sinners, it's going to happen, I just have to learn to live with it. No, He really does want to heal this for you and to help you know how to be loved by Him, learn to trust yourself, and know what to do in order to have a good relationship, good boundaries with others that are healthy and help you to thrive. So we're asking you today, has someone broken your trust? You know, maybe it's your spouse or a family member, even a close friend, and you're trying to figure out whether it's worth trying to repair the relationship, or if you can. Are you in a relationship where you want to trust the other person, but their actions just aren't matching their words? Maybe you struggle to trust God because of something painful you feel He allowed to happen, or because the church has let you down in some way. Now, here's a tough one. Do you trust yourself to make good decisions about relationships? Whatever the struggles you're having, let us help you heal when trust goes bust in your life.
877-573-7825. I mean, I think we've all had situations where someone has let us down, mm-hmm. disappointed us, betrayed us in big or small ways, and it can be hard to know how to repair the relationship. I think the one thing that I'd like to say up front, and we were actually talking about this with some folks the other day, that when we experience these kinds of hurts, very often we take a kind of all-or-nothing approach. to the relationship. Well, I can't trust them at all anymore.
Yeah. Especially if we've been hurt previously, we kind of hit that level of, I don't want to do this again, very quickly sometimes.
And so we set boundaries that end up cutting people off. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's necessary. There are some people who just aren't safe to be around in any way, and so ending the relationship is, in fact, the most loving thing we can do. But we want that to try to be a rarity. We'd like to, the best way to set boundaries is to kind of look at, well, if I can't trust them here, are there other areas where I can trust them? If I can't trust them to talk about this subject, are there other things that we still can talk about? Or if I can't trust them to show up in these ways, are there other ways that they have shown up that I could limit the relationship to those things? And so you use these sort of partial boundaries that keep you safe and prevent them from being in situations they can't handle, but you're able to maintain some kind of relationship and leave room for healing.
And we can discuss that for everybody's particular situation, but it's important to be able to discern what's safe, what your boundaries can be, what can help you grow in trust of yourself and perhaps that other person, and what's just something that you need to cut off because it's that unhealthy. We can talk about all of that today, or anything about trust that's making you feel uncomfortable or pained in some way, or you just really want to know how to heal it all. 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And, you might be wondering, how could this theology help me manage these situations where I'm struggling to trust or trust again? And it turns out it says a lot about it, because St. John Paul basically looked at everything that God's given us, scripture, salvation history, the creation. And he said, what if we could look at all of that and discern certain principles about God's plan for leading a more abundant life and having healthier, holier relationships? And his answer to that question became what people now call the theology of the body.
And the theology of the body teaches us that we were literally made for communion with God and with each other. Jesus himself prayed that we would all be one, as he and the Father are one. That's not just a nice sentiment. It's a blueprint for what our relationships are supposed to look like.
But of course, the enemy's whole game plan is to disrupt those connections through disappointments, lies, betrayals, and other offenses, large and small. And when trust is broken, it can feel almost impossible to open our hearts again, whether to that specific person or anyone at all. But St. John Paul reminded us that the most important way we can build God's kingdom is by doing the hard and holy work of healing the damage that sin tries to do to our relationships. And that healing repairs not only our bonds with others, but our own broken hearts as well.
That said, and this is crucial, St. John Paul also taught that God wants us to love responsibly. Now think of it this way. Imagine that love is a bridge that's meant to connect two people. Trust is what tells you the bridge is strong enough to walk across. Trust is made up of the ability, integrity, benevolence, and consistency. When someone consistently shows you that they have the ability to do what they say they'll do, the integrity to avoid giving offense or be corrected when they mess up, and benevolence to work for your good even when it costs them. And then the consistency to display these qualities, not just once in a while, but as a pattern. Then you know that bridge is solid, and you can cross it with confidence.
But when one or more of those qualities is missing, responsible love means setting boundaries. Not as a punishment, but as an act of genuine charity. You're not only protecting yourself, you're also protecting the other person from being in situations where they can't resist the temptation to behave in unhealthy or sinful ways. Trust isn't about being naive. It's about being wise enough, on the one hand, to know who is capable of building the kind of relationships you want with them, and loving enough, on the other hand, to help others grow into people who can be healthy enough to have the sorts of relationships that God wants for all of us. So let's talk it out on our show today titled When Trust Goes Bust. Has someone betrayed your trust in big or small ways? We want to explore the steps toward healing today on More to Life. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and then we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come before you today and we bring to you those relationships that have been damaged by disappointments or frustrations, lies, betrayals, big and small. And we ask you to help us to know how to trust, how to rebuild trust, who we can trust, how to set boundaries that allow healing to happen instead of just cutoffs occurring. Lord, we give you our broken hearts, too, and we ask you for the grace that we need to heal those hurting hearts so that we can find the courage to move forward and leave the door open for reconciliation, but to do it in responsible ways, so that, as your servant St. John Paul reminded us, that by loving responsibly we can build your kingdom and repair the damage that sin attempts to do to the connections that we have with you and with others. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, when trust goes bust. Has someone betrayed your trust in big or small ways? Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with JD, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Virginia on Sirius XM 130.
Hey, JD, welcome to More to Life. How can we help you out?
Good morning. Yes, so I'm the one who has been the one that broke the trust. And I mean, I feel all horrible about it. I've done it a number of times in various kinds of relationships.
And how have you broken trust? I mean, you were sharing with our screener that it's infidelity, like cheating on girlfriends, or what are you referring to exactly?
Yeah. So, yeah, cheating on girlfriends. And it's been an ongoing pattern. And I'm not in a relationship now, and I frankly don't think I should be again, because I continue this pattern, and I continue to hurt people. So I keep people I keep females at an arm's distance, and it's probably best for them and certainly for me. I'm not looking for any kind of feel sorry for. I know what I did was wrong, and I'm really sorry that I've done it.
Okay. What are you doing to heal that part of you?
Well, I go to the Lord. I go to confession. I have a prayer partner that I share my feelings with, and I don't live in the past, but the past comes and visits me from time to time and makes me feel horrible.
Sure. Well, okay. And so let's talk a little bit about that, because you did mention to the screener that you were wondering how to kind of get past some of the guilt of this. And, you know, guilt is meant to actually help us feel hopeful, because what it does, healthy guilt anyway, what it does is say, hey, Greg, you know, you really messed that up, but here's a way forward. Here's what you need to do to heal. And until we have a plan for healing that, we're going to continue to feel guilty, because that's the Holy Spirit kind of nudging us, saying, you know, hey, JD, I have more for you. You know, and so I think what's happening here when you're experiencing that guilt is the Holy Spirit is saying, you know, I'm glad that you're taking that you've taken this to confession. I forgive you. I'm glad that you bring all this to the Lord and ask for His healing. And I'm glad you have a prayer partner. But I have more healing in store for you, because what you're doing, the way I like to explain it is, you know, spiritual practices fill the tank of our metaphorical car. You know, if you imagine yourself as a car, you know, praying, participating in the sacraments fills up your tank with great fuel, the highest octane fuel there is, right? But even if your tank is full of the best gas that any company could make, if you have a flat tire, you're still not going anywhere, right? Or if you have a cracked engine block, you're still not going anywhere. Grace builds on nature. It doesn't substitute for it. And so what you're describing here is you're doing a lot of good spiritual things to fill up your tank, but there's a wound, right, that has you afraid to be vulnerable, to trust a woman, to give her your heart. And so when a relationship starts to get too serious, you blow it up. Because there's somebody hurt you in some way in the past that makes you afraid to really give yourself to somebody. And I think including God. Because you're as much as you feel guilty about this, and as much as I'm glad you called in today, you're kind of not being entirely honest with yourself on your road to recovery here. You would rather not be in a relationship with anybody, right, than do the work of healing yourself.
And I think it's wonderful, JD, actually, that your first instinct when you look at this, you know, it's like, this is what I did, this is the pattern, you're saying, okay, I'm going to avoid occasions of this, near occasions of this. I don't want to hurt people anymore. This is not who I want to be. And that will take you a little bit down the road, but it doesn't allow you to heal in the way that you could actually have a relationship without harming yourself or others in some
way. More responsible than continuing to repeat the offense.
Yes,
but it's a lateral move. Right, because the reason that you were hurting these women by cheating on them was the same reason you're avoiding relationship now, because you're afraid to give your heart to somebody totally, because there's a wound there that you don't want to look at, and the guilt that you're experiencing is the Holy Spirit saying, I want to heal you, JD. You're settling, and I don't want you to settle anymore. So I'd really love for you to reach out. If you trust somebody locally, to reach out for some professional counseling assistance, pastoral counseling. If you don't, then I'd encourage you to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com, because I believe that God had you tuning in today, because He's saying, I want to heal this hurt. I don't want you to be alone, and I also don't want you to hurt other people. But the third option is what is to heal,
yeah.
So that you can have the life and the relationships that God wants to give you. And so I think you took a really courageous first step today by calling in. But now it's time to stop playing around with it. It's time to stop saying, well, I'm going to take these half measures and just fill the tank, but not fix the tire. You know, I'm going to fill the tank, but I'm not going to fix the engine. So bring yourself into the shop, if you will, and let's do some work on healing that hurt that caused you to be afraid to give your heart, and makes you want to blow up relationships or avoid them altogether.
Because you really are an amazing son of God. It's shown through the way you're trying to go about fixing this, JD. God wants you to be healed all the way so that He can open your heart up to His love, and you can trust Him, and you can open your heart up to other people and be trustworthy and trust them. And that is a gift God wants to give you.
I'm going to encourage you to pick up a book by Dr. Tim Clinton titled Attachments. I think it'll give you a sense on what you're dealing with. I think you're showing some signs of what might be called an avoidant attachment style. And the book will describe more about what that means. Again, that's Attachments by Dr. Tim Clinton. But if you'd like more personal guidance on this, I'd really encourage you to reach out at CatholicCounselors.com to learn more about how we can help you heal that wound that's holding you back from the relationships God wants you to have. With that, we are going to break. 877-573-7825. Give us a call. Let's talk about those times when trust goes bust. We'll also be joined by Rachel Isaac. She is a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com. She'll be sharing some insights on how she helps her clients heal broken trust. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues after this.
Today's programming is brought to you in part by a gift from our day sponsor. The annual Rose Mass for Catholic healthcare workers, celebrated by Bishop Boyer, takes place on Saturday, March 14th at 5 p.m. at St. Francis in Ann Arbor, followed by a dinner reception. Dr. Bob Collins, nationally recognized oncologist, will share his journey of conversion and stories of grace and healing. Suggested donation is $25. RSVP at bit.ly/Rosemass.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Maybe you've been hearing a lot about the need to make a spiritual communion while participating from home in a live-streamed or broadcast Mass. Maybe you've even prayed the prayer of spiritual communion. Spiritual communion is a concept that goes all the way back to the 4th century. It flourished in the Eastern Church and gradually moved west. Spiritual communion stresses the transcendence of God, where we unite our desires, intentions, and loves with the holy sacrifice of the Mass and the consecration of the Eucharist at the altar. Jesus, I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, when trust goes bust, has someone hurt you or betrayed your trust in some way? We're exploring the steps toward healing. 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Rachel Isaac. She is a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com. She directs our faith-based program in performance excellence, where she works with Catholic athletes, performers, executives, and other folks who have to be their best under pressure. Rachel, welcome to More to Life.
Thank you for having me.
So when someone breaks our trust, we often kind of fall into a feeling of powerlessness. You know, I don't know what to do about it. I don't know whether I should do anything. How can we maintain our confidence and clarity in the face of that broken trust and navigate those situations gracefully, if you will, rather than getting overwhelmed by that sense of powerlessness that kind of takes us over?
Yeah, when someone breaks our trust, it doesn't just hurt us emotionally. It disrupts our nervous system, because trust equals safety. And when safety is disrupted, our brain goes into that protection mode. You know, so we might feel anger, we might shut down, we might overanalyze or rehearse or replay conversations in our head or question our judgment. But that's our brain trying to prevent it from happening again. But if we stay in reaction mode, we ultimately end up losing that clarity and that confidence. So the first step that I often focus on is, you know, we want to regulate before we respond. Slow our breathing, get grounded, and really separate the event from the story that we're building around it. So instead of that self-talk of, I can't trust anyone, shift to, this specific behavior broke my trust. That keeps our thinking really kind of focused instead of global, where it starts leaking into kind of our overall belief or narrative for ourselves. The second step is to assess first, don't assume. So we want to ask, was this a pattern or a one-time failure? Was it malicious or immature? Is there ownership and repair coming from this other person? We don't want to ignore broken trust, but we also don't want to let one breach of our trust distort our entire worldview. And then that third step is to choose intentionally. You know, we have kind of three options. We can rebuild, we can sort of redefine, if you will, or we can release. You know, rebuilding requires accountability and time and attention and intention from both parties involved. Redefining means adjusting maybe access to us or expectations, you know, setting those boundaries that are necessary that help us not allow that situation to happen again. And then releasing maybe means stepping away if that is necessary for that situation, because that repair is impossible. But whatever we choose, we have to choose from clarity, not from that woundedness or reactivity. Because someone breaking our trust says something about their capacity. It doesn't say anything about your worth. So in those situations, our job is to gain information without immediately closing off. And when we can assess the situation from that place of clarity, we're then able to, A, trust ourselves to navigate the situation effectively without that fear of, you know, what if this happens again? B, set and maintain the boundaries that are needed for healthy relationship. And C, truly recognize if someone is willing and able to work on healing and making our relationship better than it was before.
You know, there's so much here that we could probably spend the rest of the hour unpacking it and more. I just want to highlight one thing that you said, though, at the very beginning, where you talked about, you know, resisting that temptation to globalize that feeling of mistrust and being able to kind of narrow it down and say, look, it's not necessarily that I can't trust them. It's that I can't trust them when they do this thing or if I see them doing that thing. And I think that really points a way forward, because either we can address it and say, okay, how do we get you to stop doing that thing? Or if they're insistent on continuing to do it, then I know I have to put boundaries around it. But it's not a question of, well, I can't trust anybody or I can't trust them at all. It's that I can't trust when this thing happens. And that really is the key to making everything else you were talking about work, I think.
You're completely right. And because I think that allows us to shift our focus from the problem and solely focusing on the problem to focusing on the solutions and therefore kind of the skills that we need or that other person needs to be able to work towards that solution. So it gives us that way forward, like you were saying, rather than getting us stuck in that fear or just focusing on the problem itself.
Well, I love that it goes back to when we can focus on the skills that are needed in the situation, especially if they're on our side, it takes away that powerlessness that you were talking about at the beginning of this conversation, because that is a horrible place to be, and it's very easy to get stuck there and let it be globalized even across other relationships. So when we can work on those skills, we're taking our power back and allowing God to really work in us and heal through learning those skills. Thank you so much, Rachel Isaac.
Appreciate you being here on the show today. And if folks would like to learn more about Rachel Isaac's good work, come on over to CatholicCounselors.com and learn more about our faith-based program and performance excellence, as well as all of our other services. You can check it out again, CatholicCounselors.com. Thanks for being with us, Rachel.
Thanks for having me.
And we are taking your calls at 877-573-7825. Today's show, When Trust Goes Bust. Has someone broken your trust? Whether that's your spouse, a family member, a close friend, an adult child or a younger child, and you're trying to figure out whether it's worth trying to repair that relationship. Are you in a relationship with someone where you want to trust them, but their actions just aren't matching their words? Maybe you're struggling to trust God or the church. Or yourself, for that matter, knowing that you have the ability to make good decisions about relationships. Give us a call, 877-573-7825.
Hi, I'm Ed Bahura. Are your kids struggling with school? Give them the boost they need with Sylvan Learning Centers. Our experienced tutors make learning fun and effective. And for a limited time, get the first month of tuition at 50% off. Call us now at 1-800-EDUCATE. Don't let this amazing offer pass you by. That's 50% off the first month at Sylvan Learning Centers, where brighter futures begin. Enroll today.
Welcome to an Advanced Dentistry Center family. This is Dr. Metti, and our team strives to treat you like family in a loving and compassionate way as we focus on serving you in a Christ-like manner. We do this by emphasizing prevention and general well-being for a lifetime. Our private practice is small, personal, state-of-the-art, and innovative, with the goal to educate and motivate our patients in improving their oral health. It is through a partnership with you that you will achieve the goals for your smile. Advanced Dentistry is serious about the level of care we provide, with attention to details and an exceptional level of care, skill, and judgment. We are thrilled for the opportunity to serve you.
Dr. Matty and the team invite you to visit them at AdvancedDentistryCenter.com or call them at 248-594-9592. That's 248-594-9592. AdvancedDentistryCenter.com.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popchak. Nothing taxes our relationship with our adult kids as much as the expectation that they should obey us. As parents, we remember when our children were little and we could get away with, because I said so, Although we don't recommend that approach at any stage, we guarantee that you will fail to communicate with your adult children if you demand obedience. The Catechism of the Catholic Church notes, obedience towards parents ceases with the emancipation of our children. Certainly, our children owe us their respect, just as any human being owes respect to others in a relationship. But our adult children aren't obliged to do what we say. Catholic parents are still called to help our adult kids lead godly adult lives, but we're called to do it as mentors and witnesses, not masters and commanders. To learn how you can have a healthy mentoring relationship with your adult kids, check out our book, Having Meaningful and Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Your Adult Sons and Daughters, or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back, folks. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, When Trust Goes Bust, we're talking about how to heal when someone has betrayed your trust. And by the way, if you are enjoying More to Life, but you can't tune in every day, you can always get the podcast, More to Life, by downloading the Ave Maria Radio app or going to AveMariaRadio.net and signing up to get the show delivered to your inbox every day. Check it out, AveMariaRadio.net or the Ave Maria Radio app.
Before we go to our next caller, we want to send out congratulations to another EWTN radio partner, KCRD 98.3 and 91.9, serving Dubuque, Iowa, and Galena, Illinois, is celebrating 10 years with us this week.
Woo! Congratulations, Tom Oglesby and his awesome team at Aquinas Communications from all of us here at EWTN.
Yay.
And wherever you are listening to EWTN Radio, make sure you are supporting your local EWTN Catholic radio station with your prayers, for sure, but with your dollars as well. Let's keep EWTN Radio going strong for decades to come so we can keep supporting you in living a more joyful and abundant life. Again, congratulations to Tom Oglesby and everybody who makes EWTN Radio possible, especially you, the listener. With that, we're taking your calls at 877-573-7825 about broken trust.
Let's talk to Therese, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Lincoln, Nebraska.
On Spirit Catholic Radio. Hey, Therese, welcome to More to Life. What's up?
This is only my second time calling. Thank you. And I'm kind of nervous, but I'm trying to...
We don't bite anymore, not since the incident, so it's all cool. So, no, okay. Thanks for calling in. What's up?
Well, it's been 3 years that we've been civil divorced, haven't done an annulment, but he's already moved on, our kids say, and come to find out there was like a girl of a few that he was paying $200 for blackmail, and he told me that, and he lied about some other things, but there was also, I gave him $600 to get on the road again with this car because it was all beat up.
Come so this is your ex-husband you're talking about?
Yes.
Who's
yes,
being blackmailed sorry. By other people but also kind of coming to you for money. And okay, so how can we help you out, though, Therese? What's your question for us today?
Let's see. I don't want to take too much time. I'm not sure.
Well, you had told our screener that you were wondering whether you should get an annulment or not, that you are divorced and that he's moved on, but you're not sure whether to get an annulment. Is that what you're asking?
Basically, yeah. I did give him money of my own because I was kind of dumb, but come to find out the car was beat up because from a mutual friend, they said that he had messed with someone's wife or girlfriend.
Oh, my goodness. And it says on the board also, Therese, that you just never really thought that it was okay to ever set boundaries.
And I can see that's even true now, that he's taking advantage of you even though you're divorced. So let's talk about this. You know, as Christians, we often, and there are two parts to this. So let's first talk about why it's okay to set boundaries and how you can begin to learn how to do that. And then secondly, let's talk about the annulment question. So first, you know, going back to our opening comments, you know, St. John Paul really talked a lot about how it's not just enough to be loving. We have to love responsibly. Because loving somebody is working for their ultimate good. But very often what we do is we do things that we think are loving because we feel bad, or because we feel guilty, or because we've been manipulated in some way. And those things might look superficially loving, but they're not actually loving, because they're not really working for the ultimate good of somebody. They're enabling them to continue to do bad things, or they're enabling them to continue to hurt us, or to be hurtful to others. And that's not loving, because to love somebody means working for their ultimate good. And if I'm going to work for somebody's ultimate good, the least that that requires of me is to not enable them to act like a jerk. Right. And so when your ex-husband is coming to you and asking for money to pay for the blackmail that he's being done because he treated people poorly,
or the car that's been destroyed because he was messing with somebody's wife,
then it's best to not bail him out of that, because he needs to face the consequences of his actions. Otherwise, he's never going to learn. So setting boundaries is actually part of charity, because when we set a boundary, what we're doing is we are eliminating a near occasion of sin for somebody. You know, as Catholics, we don't just avoid sin, we avoid near occasions of sin. And what that means is, you know, if I know that I have a weakness in a certain area, I don't want to just not do that thing. I don't want to be around the temptation to do the thing. And so, you know, when somebody can't behave well around us, then we set boundaries around that behavior, or maybe even around the entire relationship, because we don't want to put them in a situation they can't handle.
And so by giving him money to have his car fixed because it was destroyed by an angry husband, what you're saying is, no, it's okay. It wasn't that bad. I'll give you the money and fix the car. Because, you know, what your choice to have an affair with somebody's wife, that's not that bad.
And that's not what you're trying to say.
At all. That's not what you're trying to say.
But that is what comes across.
So what he's learning is, my actions aren't that bad because people are going to bail me out of this. So that's somehow a nod to, I must not be that bad in my actions. And so he's being taught, it's okay, just keep doing what you're doing. Somebody will make up for your sinfulness. And so to actually do the loving and right thing for him is to stop bailing him out of these terrible, terrible situations he's getting himself in. The most loving thing you can do for yourself is to stop bailing him out of these terrible situations and realize your dignity as a daughter of the Most High God. God does not want you to be an accomplice to this man's sin anymore. God wants you to know your worth. He wants you to know that he loves you. He wants you to be able to hold your head high and feel good about who you are. And to just keep giving and giving and giving in a way that makes you sort of an accomplice to your ex-husband's sinfulness is not going to let God's love sink into your bones.
An unwitting accomplice, an unintentional accomplice,
exactly.
But an accomplice nonetheless. And so somewhere along the line, like we were talking about with JD, you got this wound where you learned that if you ever said no to anybody, someone might stop loving you. And that's a terrifying thing for a child to grow up with. I'm guessing that this is a childhood wound, that somehow setting boundaries, or you know, you saw that setting boundaries caused people to not be loving to others. And that's a terrifying thing for a child to feel. And that child is still running your life. And until she is healed, you're going to have a hard time setting the kind of boundaries that allow you to be that prophetic, beautiful woman of God that isn't an accomplice to other people's wrongdoing. So I'm going to really encourage you to reach out to learn more about how we could help you heal those wounds or others in your area. You can learn more about what we could do for you at CatholicCounselors.com. Now let me talk to you about the annulment question. You know, I often hear from people who will say, I don't have any intention of getting married again, so I shouldn't go to the church to seek the annulment process. And by the way, you know, it's not a matter of should I go get an annulment, because there's no, you know, there's not necessarily a guarantee that you'll get an annulment. I mean,
it's a discernment process.
And I realize that most often we do get that is the end of the that is the result of the process, but it is a discernment process. Okay, and think of it this way: you know, marriage preparation is actually meant to be a discernment process too. I believe that God has placed this person in my life and the desire in my heart to build a life with this person. But because I want to be a faithful disciple of Christ, I want to go to the church and discern with them whether that discernment is correct, whether that sense is right. And the church is supposed to help me discern that. Doesn't always work out quite that way, but that's what it's supposed to be. The opposite is also true. It seems to me that this relationship that I thought was from God is not producing godly fruit. I thought that this was a relationship that God had called us into to work for each other's good, to help each other become everything God created us to be in this life and get each other to heaven in the next. But in fact, it's not producing that fruit, either because one or both of us wasn't capable of doing that or didn't intend to do that work. And so I'm now coming to the church to discern what to make of all that. And to get the church's help to decide, is this a relationship that God called me into? Was this a relationship that I was mistaken about? Or that God has other things for me? I mean, even if you have no intention of getting married again, it's important to discern with the church what God is calling you to in this chapter of your discipleship journey. And so seeking the annulment doesn't go and say, well, I want the church to rubber stamp my decision to go out and get married again. Mm-mm. It's I want to discern with the church how to make sense out of the last X number of years of my life and how to discern what God is calling me to next in my life.
And also that if the church discerns with you to say, okay, this is the part that made it really impossible for your spouse or for you to really know what you were going into in this sacrament, to really be able to fully commit to the sacrament of matrimony, that invites you to say, okay, what do I need to do to heal myself so that I can be more whole and more holy in my interior life and in any relationship with any other human being on the planet, because God's going to help me heal this part of myself.
So to sum up the two parts to your question, number one, I really encourage you to seek the faithful pastoral counseling help that will enable you to heal the wounds that taught you somewhere along the line that if you set boundaries with people, they wouldn't love you. Because that's a horrible cross to have to carry, and it's not the cross that God wants for you. He wants you to be able to have healthy relationships and be a healthy influence in other people's lives, not be manipulated into supporting sinful behavior. And so getting the good, faithful help that you need to heal that wound will only help you be a stronger woman of God who is capable of fulfilling your prophetic mission. And secondly, turning to the church to seek discernment about what to do with this relationship. I can tell you, based on what you've described, you married a guy who was a sex addict and a malignant narcissist, who is probably not capable of entering into marriage as the church defines it, and so I don't expect that it would be difficult to get the annulment, but you still need to discern that with the church, because that's what we as Christian disciples do. We don't just make decisions on our own, we discern them with the community of the faithful, and the church gives us certain tools, whether that's marriage preparation or the annulment process, to discern what is God calling us to next, and how do we make sense out of what we've been through in the light of his grace. So Therese, I thank you so much for the call. I can tell you have a beautiful heart and a real desire to do what God is calling you to do, but I think that it's time to open up your heart to get the help, both on the psychological level and on the pastoral level from the church, to really complete this next step in your healing. Thanks so much for the call. If there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. With that, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Matthew chapter 7, verse 16.
By their fruits you shall know them.
Short but sweet, but it also goes back to the point you were making, Lisa, at the very beginning of the show, the four qualities that make up a trustworthy person. Mm-hmm. Ability, integrity, benevolence, and consistency. You know, if you see the fruit of ability, integrity, benevolence, and consistency in somebody's life, especially in their dealings with you, you know that you can trust them. If you see that person struggling to do what they say they're going to do, to not give offense or be easily corrected when they do, to work for your good even when it's inconvenient for them, and to do those things consistently, then you know what to set boundaries around or what to ask about in order to change and see that the relationship is viable. But you know, Matthew 7:16 is really kind of giving us permission to love responsibly, to evaluate the fruit that we see in a person's life or the way they're treating us, and then prune back that tree if necessary, water or fertilize that tree in ways that will actually help it grow and be healthy, or cut down the tree sometimes if we need to, because by their fruit we will know them. 877-573-7825. Today's show titled When Trust Goes Bust. Has someone betrayed your trust in big or small ways? We want to explore the steps toward healing at 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your questions coming up right after the break.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Hi, I'm Colleen Kelly Mast. Thousands of families each year go on to regret not having a will once their loved one passes. At MyCatholicWill.com, a legal will is as simple as 15 minutes filling out information about your family. Thanks to our partnership with MyCatholicWill.com, when you use the promo code AVE, A-V-E, your will is absolutely free. No hidden costs whatsoever. Visit MyCatholicWill.com.
This program brought to you in part by Ave Maria, Florida, a big kind of small town where golf carts take you everywhere and there's always something fun around the corner. Discover championship golf, resort-style amenities, and a town center full of shopping and dining. With Ave Maria University and Ave Maria Catholic Church at its heart, it's a community full of connection and charm. More than 25 model homes are available for viewing. More information can be found at avemaria.com. That's avemaria.com.
Every woman deserves specialized health care. At Arbor Women Health, our team of compassionate professionals listen to our patients and want to understand what they're going through. They serve everyone from teen girls to seniors. Our faith-based clinicians specialize in obstetrics, gynecology, fertility awareness in crisis, or unexpected pregnancies. Call 734-930-4020 or visit arborwomenhealth.org. Arbor Woman, faith-inspired, dignity-affirming healthcare.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today's show is titled When Trust Goes Bust. How do we deal with those situations where someone lets us down, betrays us, disappoints us, lies to us, or breaks trust in some other way? 877-573-7825.
We got an email here, Greg, at questions@moretoliferadio.com from Maddie. She says, I have three kids, 7, 5, and 3. I'm hoping you can help me with something that's been really bothering me about my daughter, the 7-year-old. She's gotten into the habit of lying, especially when she thinks she might be in trouble. It's not big, elaborate lies. It's the kind of thing where I'll walk into the kitchen and catch her eating a snack right before dinner, which she knows she's not supposed to do, and I'll ask her, are you eating before dinner? And she'll look me right in the eye with her mouth full and say, no.
More like, mmm.
Yeah, perhaps. It would almost be funny if it didn't worry me so much. This happens a lot. Whenever she thinks she's done something wrong or might get in trouble, her first instinct is to lie about it, even when it's completely obvious. I've sat her down and explained why lying is wrong and how it hurts my feelings, and it makes it hard for me to trust her. And she seems to understand in the moment, but then she turns right around and does it again the next time. I guess I have two questions. First, how do I actually teach her how to tell the truth? Because just talking about why it's important clearly is not working. And second, how worried should I be? The fact that she seems so comfortable looking at me in the eye and lying, even about something small, kind of scares me. Is this normal kid stuff, or is this a bigger problem I need to address now before it gets even worse? I love my daughter so much, and I want to raise her to be honest and trustworthy. I just feel like I'm failing at this one, and I don't know what to do differently. Thanks so much, Maddie.
All right, Maddie, thank you so much for the question. And I think this is a great example of one of those little ways that we can break trust with other people. And it is concerning. I don't mean concerning in the sense that, you know, your daughter's going to grow up to be a hardened criminal or something, but you know, concerning in the sense that we want to raise trustworthy people, right? And when your kid just kind of bald-faced lies to you with their mouth full, you know, whatever, then that can be upsetting. So, two things. First of all, even though she is at that age of reason, and I think it would be appropriate, you know, and when your family goes to confession, to kind of talk about this and have her confess this as well. She's just really, her brain has developed just enough to the point where she's connecting actions and consequences, but her feelings are still going to very easily overwhelm her and cause her to do things that, you know, she wouldn't do if she was in a better state of mind. And so, you know how we pray in the Lord's Prayer, lead us not into temptation? Well, we want to not lead our kids into temptation either. And sometimes, you know, when we ask our kids questions that we know the answer to, we're sort of setting them up. Because in the back of their little primitive mind, they think, well, maybe there's a chance that I won't get in trouble for this. And so you're staring at the kid doing the thing, and you say, are you doing the thing? And they say, no. Right? And it's not because they really want to lie. It's because their amygdala, the fire alarm center in their brain, just takes over and it overwhelms their very immature moral conscience. And it makes them just sort of think, well, maybe mom didn't see me shove that cookie in my mouth.
I didn't make this ridiculously inappropriate choice that I made, even though I knew I wasn't supposed to do it.
Well, that is true. Like with younger kids especially, the fact that they wish that they didn't do something to them means that they didn't do it.
They live in a very magical world in their minds, and so it's not as clear-cut as it looks to us as adults who really understand the difference between reality and wishes.
So what that goes to then is that you don't let it go, obviously, because we do need to teach our children to be truthful. But the best way to do that is to make it safe to be truthful. You know, so you see the child doing the thing, and instead of saying, are you doing the thing? You can say, oh, honey, I see you're doing the thing. What's the rule about the thing? It's like, okay, well then let's put that away and let's go do this instead. You know, you're handling the problem, but you're not, you know, piling on with huge consequences and big screaming or, you know, other drama around it. You're letting her know that it's safe to tell you the truth, that she's going to have to deal with, you know, whatever it was that she did. There might have to be a consequence of cleaning up the thing or putting the thing away or losing the thing for the rest of the day or whatever it is. But you're not mad at her. You're not, you know, shaming her. It's just, you know, I understand that you did the thing. We know that we're not supposed to do the thing. Here's what we have to do because you did the thing.
And let's
move on.
Yeah, and you can, you know, say to her, okay, and I also need you to say that you're sorry for breaking this rule.
And admit that you did the thing.
Yeah.
You know, but if the temperature, the emotional temperature is lower between the two of you, and you say, now, honey, you know, are you?
I see you've done the thing.
And can you tell me that you're sorry for doing the thing? Yeah, Mom, I'm really sorry I did the thing. And now you're teaching her that it's safe to be truthful and how to be truthful. When we come in, did you do the thing? Then immediately the panic sets in, the amygdala goes off, floods her brain, what little logical brain she's got at 7 years old goes offline, and then she just stares at you and says no. So yes, it is technically a lie, but developmentally there's a lot more going on there. So yes, you should talk with her about, you know, when you guys go to confession, confessing that and receiving the grace to do better. But I would just say in the shorter term, don't set her up to lie by asking questions you already know the answer to, and make it safe to tell the truth by keeping the emotional temperature low and just handling the problem.
You know, I'm thinking that we as adults even do this.
Oh, yeah,
so,
sure.
You know, the very typical, the cop pulls you over, and the first thing he says is, do you know why I pulled you over? And
no,
you
think,
no,
officer,
I have no idea.
Didn't
know I was going 90 in a 55.
What?
You know, no, because our reaction is to defend ourselves, protect ourselves, and we really wish we hadn't made that knuckleheaded decision. And it's even worse when we're talking about small children whose brains are not as developed. So,
by the way, Maddie, we talk about this kind of thing every day on the Catholic Home app. That's Catholic HOM, and you can subscribe wherever you get your apps. It is an app created for couples and families that we provide coaching Couple coaching and married and parenting coaching, plus tons of great resources like professionally animated series that whole families can watch together to learn how to build a more loving, caring, connected Catholic family life. We've got monthly downloadable activities, including a great Lenten family starter kit this month for Lent. We've got a monthly live Q&A where you can get together as a community and ask Lisa and I questions. Our whole team of pastoral counselors and coaches are on it. Check it out if you want more support like this and somebody kind of hold your hand while you do it at Catholic HOM. That's Households on Mission. Get it wherever you get your apps. Of course, if you'd like more personalized attention, you can visit us at CatholicCounselors.com where we can connect you with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, and personal life in the light of God's grace. That's CatholicCounselors.com. Thanks so much for tuning in. Until next time, remember that with God's grace, there is so much more to life. Have a blessed day.
To Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program, and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.